Beis Ma'al Cheshvan, Thursday the 31st of October, Rabbi Shmuel Kimchi, Hidden Predictions in the Torah? Question mark. Hidden predictions in the Torah?
Nice. Maybe we'll unreveal them. Oh, Gert Baldig. Shkoyach to everyone for coming, and especially a Yasher Koyach again, we say this, to Dudi, who is currently in hospital. Oh, already. Dudi is not feeling so great. Bez Hashem should be a refuah shalema. I wanted to do something a bit different this morning, but before I do, I want to make two mini introductions. One of them is a little story, a story that I heard about the Tosher Rebbe, who I'd never heard of until the Art Scroll came out 2019 with a book, but he is about, for this story alone, I'm going to buy the book. The second one is just an introduction of this time of year, Derech Avod, and then we're going to go into the sheets in front of you. We'll show you six different predictions. We're going to go through 1, 2, and 3 pretty fast, and then we're going to look at 4, 5, and 6 a little bit more detail. The story that I wanted to share with everyone, I read it last week, and I was misspoiled from it, which is why it's just been going around in my head, and I have to share it. That's just the way it is. So the Tosher Rebbe, he lived in Montreal. He moved to Montreal and built up, after the war, he built up a Torah center in Montreal. I assume he came from Tosh. Is that right?
Yeah.
The Tosher Rebbe. Yeah, came from Tosh, and... Yeah, wherever that may be. Maybe. Where is it?
Hungary.
It's in Hungary. Great. So he came and he built up a Mokum Torah in Montreal. One day, another Hungarian Yid comes and is traveling to Halifax, which is further north. It's the financial center in Canada at the time. And he's traveling through and he goes to visit the Tosher Rebbe. This is... straight after the Shoah, straight out, you know, in the early 50s, he comes in to see the Tosher Rebbe, and the Tosher Rebbe says to him, starts talking to him, why do you want to go up to Halifax? Why don't you stay here in Montreal? Here in Montreal, there is a minyan, there are Jewish schools. If you want to rebuild your life, this is the place. Halifax is not a market. He says, no, I've got family there. He says, nah, Montreal's the place, a good place. And the Hungarian Yid said to him, let me tell you a story. And this is why I don't want to stay in Montreal, I want to go to Halifax. I went through the war, I went to the camps, all my family were killed. And straight after the war, I went back to my hometown, and I threw myself back into work. I went to work, and I would work for anything. I would take any form of manual labor, I'd take any form of work. And slowly, slowly, I managed to save up $500. Back in the day, $500 was a small fortune, was enough to build a business. And I decided to myself, this is it, $500. I made contact, I sent a telegram to Canada, and I said to my family in Halifax, I'm on my way, I'm coming to join you there. I take my suitcase with my clothes and my money, all my worldly possessions. I go to the train station in Antwerp. And I'm about to board a train to take me to a ship that will take me across the sea. When someone jumps me, someone jostles me and takes my suitcase, my $500, gone. My $500 is gone. I look around, what am I going to do? Is worse than killing me. That's what it says in the article. It was worse than killing me. I did not know what to do. I went back. I threw myself back into work. And now I've again amassed a small fortune. I'm keeping it here in my jacket. It's not leaving my sight, but I am going to do what I said I'm going to do. I'm going up to Halifax. The Rebbe saw that he couldn't change the guy's mind. Anyway, that was the end of part one of the story. That afternoon, Mincha, in Montreal, this gentleman goes to shul, and he's noticing that there's someone staring at him the whole of Mincha. He's davening Mincha, and someone is staring at him the whole of Mincha. As he finishes his Shemone Esrei, he takes a few steps back. He says, you know, I couldn't help but notice you've been looking at me the whole set. So the guy turns around to him and says to him, yeah, I've seen you somewhere. I know you from somewhere. I don't know where, but I know you from somewhere. What's your name? So they start exchanging, talking. I come from Hungary. Maybe, you know. And he tells the story of where he's been. And he says, I was in Antwerp. And I was traveling here, and then the guy freezes, and he says, wow, that's where I know you from.
That's right.
That's where I know you from Antwerp, the station. I was the guy who took your suitcase. I'm the Ganef. Please be moichel me. Wait here 1 minute. He runs home. He brings back $1,500, and he says, $500 is what I owe you, and another $1,000 is compensation. I'm the Ganef. I'm so sorry. I was hungry. I was tired. I didn't know what to do with myself. And I'm so please forgive me. The guy looks at him. They start talking, and he takes the money, and he says, Amochel you believe Shalem. And he lives. He decides, you know what? This is a simon tov for me. I'm going to stay here in Montreal. And he marries a frum girl, and they have children and grandchildren. But the relationship with this Ganef was never the way that it could have been between two yidden. At a certain point, after 30 years, he's got children, grandchildren. He decides he's going to move to New York. A couple of days before he moves to New York, someone knocks on his door. He opens the door, and it's this Ganef. 30 years they've been living side by side, roughly the same age. And he said, can I please come in? I want to tell you something. Sure, come inside. They start talking. He says, I want you to know that, do you remember when you came that day to speak to the Tosha Rebbe? And that afternoon at Mincha, we spoke, and I told you that I took your suitcase. I got to tell you, I've never seen you in my life. The Tosha Rebbe told me to admit that I was the one who took your suitcase, and he gave me the $1,500. And he said to me, give the $500 plus another $100,000 for reparations, and you'll see the Yid will stay here, and he will build a firm life. Are you willing to accept this responsibility for something that you never did? And the guy was willing to do it, and as a result of the Tosha Rebbe, this guy stayed in Montreal instead of going up to Halifax, and his children and grandchildren and presumably great-grandchildren are all Shomrei Torah Mitzvah. Isn't that a beautiful story? Amazing. For this story alone, it's Kedai to buy the Tosha Rebbe's book. What? I'm becoming Tosha Chosin. I'm just... It's Kedai to buy the Sefer. The story's been going round and round in my mind. And it's amazing. It's amazing. I can't imagine like the Hargasha that the Rebbe, you know, the Rebbe's, I've never, this is the first story I've heard of the Tosha Rebbe Ham for their Talmidim. It's Mavhil al Arayon. Really, really unbelievable.
Rabbi, can you just say it's also amazing that the man took on the...
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's true. It's true. It is amazing the man was willing to accept that responsibility. There are loads of lessons we can take. Are you allowed to you know... This is Hatzalas Nefashos. I presume it's Hatzalas Nefashos. There's no all holds are off, but the all bets are off. So this is the story of the Tosha Rebbe. It doesn't directly connect with anything I'm about to say, which is good. It's always good to do that. But it's a gewaldic story. I wanted to share a few things, and in another 2 minutes of introduction, I want to point out one word that comes up in this week's parasha and last week's parasha, which has the same letter root, which is Hevel, Mabul, and Bavel. Hevel, Mabul, and Bavel, the three of them have got similar roots. Hevel, the brother of Cain, who was killed, right? The Mabul, right? And the Tower of Bavel at the end of the parsha, towards the end of the parsha, And the question is, what is the kesher between them? And I haven't seen anyone bring up, and it could be. This is, I think what I'm going to say is MS. What I think is that the common denominator between all of them is that the word bolul bashemen, belila, mixing up, is taking something which has an order and putting chaos to it. Hevel lives a life of, well, what does hevel havolim mean? Right? It means I don't understand the order. I live in a world of chaos. The mabul, the water comes and deconstructs everything, takes everything and totally mixes it up. That is what a mabul is. And bovel shemisham bila, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mixed up everything. There was a safa achas, there was an order, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was deconstructed. And this is what I was thinking. Famously, the Sfasema says the most amazing thing. He says, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol ma'odecha. Yeah, b'chol levavcha, we know the famous Mishnah and Brachas tells us, levavcha b'shnei yitzerecha. B'chol nafshcha is, afilu hu notos nafshcha, meaning even if you have to give up your life. B'chol ma'odecha, all of your property, all of your wealth. Right? That's what the Mishnah in Brachas, in the ninth parak of Brachas says the Sfas Emes, B'chol Levavcha is Rosh Hashanah, B'chol Nafshecha is Yom Kippur, B'chol Modecha is Sukkos. Right? B'chol Levavcha is B'shnei Yitzirecha, is the Yom Adin. B'chol Nafshecha, afilu hu notels Nafshecha. That's what we do on Yom Kippur until the Shemus at the end of the day. We are reenacting our own mortality. That is what Yom Kippur is. That's B'chol Adichducha Shal Nefesh. B'chol Ma'odecha, we leave our homes and we go into the Sukkah and we give up our Ma'od, our property. We say it's Hakol yours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, V'hoyu Advarim, V'dibar Tobam, right? The V'dibar Tobam, which is the next part of Shema, is Simchas Torah, right? And then we have, U'shartim L'os Al Yodcha, V'ayu L'todufos Bein Einecha. And I'm going to explain that out Kufa now. And then Al Mezuzos Beisecha, V'sharecha, says me, I think, in continuation, is Chanukah, right, the mezuzah and the ner Chanukah. One is Torah Sheba'al Peh, one is Torah Shebichtav. They have to be on both sides of the doorway. One is the protection for the inside, one is the protection for the outside. The mezuzah is for the inside, and the ner Chanukah is presuming Nisa, it's to the outside. But we're in a tzkufa now, Mar Cheshvan is the tzkufa of V'hoyu lo'os al yodcha, u'l'totofos bein einecha, the tefillin. What is this tzkufa? And it's very much directly connected to this mabul, bilbul, hevel, bovel, because this is in Tanakh called chodesh bul. Right? We all know this, that in Malachim Aleph, very good. In Malachim Aleph, right, we have chodesh bul. Chodesh bul is chodesh mar cheshvan, which is when the mabul happened. Today is beis cheshvan, and we enter a time of the year of bilbul. After the yomim noraim, after the urus of the yomim noraim, and so because we enter now a mabul. We enter work. The clocks have changed. It gets dark. It's dark much, much longer, and all of a sudden we enter a state of confusion. What is this stage of tefillin? Of tefillin shal yad, tefillin shal rosh. And I was thinking, dvarim pshutim admaod, which is that the people who are chozer from the archei milchama, the Gemara says in Sota, daf mem dalet, are people who speak between the tefillin shal yad and tefillin shal rosh. What does that mean? Who speak between the tefillin shal yad and tefillin shal rosh? I heard from Moshe Shapiro Zatzal. Moshe Shapiro said it means people who were not able to connect the moach to the lev, the moach to the lev, the tefillin shal rosh to the tefillin shal yad. And if you're not able to connect the tefillin shal rosh to the tefillin shal yad, you're not able to connect the moach to the lev, then you're chozer mi'orchei amulchama. The word lev is the reversal of bal, the root mabul, bilbul, bila, hevel, Right? Everything that we're talking about is base lamed. The lave, what does the lave do? It's lamed base. It constructs, it takes something and puts it in a context. If our job right now in this Chodesh Bul is to reverse the base lamed, is to be able to bring from the moach down to the lave, is to be able to bring, to not be chosmer, the bracha to God is in Vizos HaBracha is that his warriors is Taruf Zeroa Af Kod Kod. I don't know if you remember in the laning for Vizos HaBracha that the warriors cut down, right? Nikorim, right? The warriors were so strong of God that they knew how to kill their opponents by slicing them this way, which is a hard thing to do apparently. That's what Rashi says, Rashi quoting the Medrash and Rav Moshe Shapiro asks, what's going on over there? What does that mean? Yeah, it means that God got a bracha that he never disconnected his moach from his lave. The tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh of God was always intact. God means continuous, and our job is to connect our minds to heart of bedavka in this time of bilbul when we don't understand. And generally in life, and I think that is the order of events from Rosh Hashanah down to Hanukkah, and that is our job to bring Shem Shemayim into this world. Okay, that was just two little introductions that I thought of and I was thinking of and I wanted to share, and I think it's very beautiful. But what I do in Eretz Yisrael, also when I was in the JLE over here, was to speak to lots of non-frum people or people who are less not yet ma'aminim or they want a bit of chizuk in emuna, and part of what I do is I show certain things that were written in the Torah so many years ago which have come about. And recently I read a book called Mesilos El HaEmuna. I forget the author, but I was so impressed by a couple of the things which are bedafka nogeya Parshas Noach and Parshas Lech Lecha, that when Dudi said, would you come and speak this week, I thought, oh, why not? I'll share something from Noach and something from Lech Lecha. And you know what? I think we're going to go straight to that. That's number 5 and number 6, because I definitely don't want to not do that in the 12 minutes that we have left. Yeah? Yeah, can you see number 5 and number 6? We're going to have a look first at number 6, which is Nogeya Noach. Amazing statement by the Zohar. An amazing statement by the Zohar. Listen to this. We're going to read. Can you see where it says number 6? The Targum. The Targum of the Zohar, yeah, says the following. U'b'sheish me'os shana le'elef ha'shishi. In the 6th century of the 6th millennium. Yeah, the 6th century of the 6th millennia. Yeah, yuftechu sharei chachma lemala. The gates of wisdom from above will open. Uma'ayonei ha'chochma lamata. And the fountains of wisdom from below. V'yachin atzmo le'olam lihikones be'elef ha'shishi. And the world will start preparing themselves for Shabbos. Number six, yeah. Ke'odom ameichin atzmo b'yom ha'shishi achare yatzorayim lachnosas Shabbos. Just like the person prepares himself, just like we prepare ourselves on Friday afternoon for the oncoming Shabbos, right? We prepare ourselves. Gam kein bezeh. The same thing will happen over here. The simoneich. And the indication for this is b'shnas sheish me'oz shana l'chaye Noach. Nivku kol ma'ayonos tohom rabba, nivku arubos ha'shamayim, right? The windows of Shamayim came down, all the rain poured down. Kol ma'ayonos tohom rabba, and all of the fountains from below started springing up. From below and above, we started, the rain started coming, says the Zohar. 2,000 years ago, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, yeah, or even according to the scholars who want to say, that the Zohar is only 700 years old, I've forgotten the name of the sefer, but he shows us parts are, parts aren't. It doesn't matter. We We are Ma'aminim B'nai Ma'aminim. This is, we're talking about the Zohar from 2,000 years ago, telling us the following, that in the year 1840, L'minyonim, in the year 1840, in the year, we're now in 5780, in the year 5660, in the year 1840, all the Mayonos to home are going to open up. The Shari Chochma from below and the Shari Chochma from above are going to open up. What does that mean? The year 500 CE, horse and cart. The year 1000 CE, horse and cart. Right? The year 1500 CE, horse and cart. Right? We're talking about, all of a sudden, look on the left-hand side of your page, 1805, the atom, 1823, electricity, 1825, don't know what that is, 1831, the telegraph, 1833, electromagnetism, 1834, right, the electrochemistry, Faraday created a whole cage, the Faraday cage to break electromagnetism, yeah, 1842, right, the conservation of energy, Joule, 1842, the Doppler effect, 1842, the radio, 1845, where the basis for computer language, 1850, the second law of thermodynamics, 1857, right, the chaydakim, the bacteria, 1859 is something else, 1864, yeah, is Alfred Nobel, the dynamite, yeah. 1865, we don't have a story for Alfred Nobel, but we don't have time for the story. 1865, right? You see this over here. You've all of a sudden, the Ma'ayonos Tahom Rabbah and the Ma'ayonos HaChochma from above, yeah? From below, in other words, Chochma, all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am going to create a world. There is a universal time clock. The universal time clock, yeah, is La'asos, says the Ramban on the last word of the Vayechulu that we say every Friday night, the beginning of Perek Beis, La'asos, that in the 6 days of creation, every day of the 6 days of creation is a me'ain of the 6,000 years. For example, the fourth day, the sun and the moon. In the fourth millennia, the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. One was 410 years, one was 420 years, and that spans the 1,000 years of the fourth millennia. V'chahena v'kahena, he shows that each of the days in the 6 days of creation were a microcosm of 1,000 years. And as we are in the year 5600, yeah, the after Chatzos, Friday afternoon, time is getting faster. We all know this, however much. We know we have to prepare for Shabbos. We're never ready on time. We always have to speed up. And that is this. All of a sudden, the Ma'ayonos Tohom Rabbah of Chochma starts coming up to prepare the way for the fact that the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cover the world. What is it? Kamaim layom chasim. Very good. Very good. Kamaim layom chasim. That is it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I saw in the book Klach Pesachei Chochma of the Ramchal, in the Ramchal Friedlander edition over here, he quotes the Leshem, and he says that the Leshem uses exactly, and that's the next source down here, 6 at the bottom. Yeah, Zu Loshen HaSefer Leshem Shavu V'Achlam, right, in the Sefer HaDeah, it says, quoting this Zohar, that exactly during that period of time, from the year 1840 onwards, all of a sudden, it's not just the Ma'ayonos Tahom are opening up, but also the Arubos HaShamayim, the Kabbalah, the words of the Zohar, all of a sudden are going to be available to everybody, and that's what's happening right now. We live in exciting times. We live in exciting times. This is Likras Shabbos L'chuvonelcha. This is it. We are in the zone Mamish Likras Shabbos. And that is a Zohar talking about Noach, and I thought that was a fascinating Nikuda. Let's have a look at number 5. Let's have a look at number 5. This is going to be a race against the clock. Yeah. Says the source number 5. I'm not going to read the whole source, but the source is talking about Bris Milah. It's about Lech Lecha, next week's parasha. that we have In the benching, we say, right? That we have the connection between Eretz Yisrael and the Bris Milah is brought down in the Gemara, is brought down in the Meiri a few times. And the Zohar also says that because Bnei Yishmael have also Bris Milah, they also have a tfisa on Eretz Yisrael, and that's what it says. Look at the underlying parts, only four lines. The Asidim Bnei Yishmael, this is written down many, many hundreds of years ago. The Islam is, you know, as a movement, it was only in the 600s, right? The Asidim Bnei Yishmael Lishlot al Ha'aretz HaKadosha, right? Bnei Yishmael are going to be sholeit on Eretz Yisrael. B'shar Shehi Reika Mikol. When it is empty of all, Zman Harbek, Moshe Hamilo Shalahem Reikov Lishlemus, the Hem Yaakwas Bnei Yisrael, Loshuv Lim Komum, and they are going to prevent Klal Yisrael returning to their place, Achetichla Zchusa Hishal Bnei Yishmael, until the Zchus of Bnei Yisrael is finished. Bnei Yishmael, until the Zchus of Bnei Yishmael are used up, they are going to prevent Klal Yisrael from returning to Eretz Yisrael. And this is written again many, many hundreds of years ago, before there was any shemetz of movement in Bnei Yishmael. Look, let's turn back to number four for a second, because it could be that that's all we're going to have time for. I want to share something which I find to be extraordinary, mamash extraordinary. We know that there are two tochochos in the Torah. Two tochochos. Where? One in Bechukosai and one in Kisava. One in the end of Sefer Vayikra, one at the end of Sefer Devarim. Says the Ramban, the one at the end of the Sefer Vayikra is talking about, and I've quoted over here, it's talking about the first Golus Bovel, or any previous Galuyos that we have, the first three Galuyos. But the last tochocha, the very long one, the 98 Klolos in Torah's Kohanim is talking about our Golus, 2,000 years of Roman Golus, which is extended all the way till now, for the last 2,000, the year 70 to now, till the year 2019, Chol HaPochus, that this long, long Golus, which started by the Romans, and then was taken over by the Neutzrim in the Vatican, which is Mamash in Rome. And that is an extension all the way till today, all the crusades and all the crucifixions and all the pogroms and everything. Yeah, this long golus is spoken about. That is the topic of conversation in the 98 Klolos of Kisavo. Let's read two psukim, and I want us to think about Nazi Germany as we're reading the following pasuk. Yeah? Look at source number four, the pasuk in source number four. Yeah, on the second page. Yeah, Yiso Hashem Olecha Goy Meirochok. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to send to you a nation from afar, Miktzei Haaretz, from the edges of the earth. Kasher Yideh Hanesher, just like the eagle swoops. What was the symbol of Nazis? The eagle. And what was their tactic? The Blitzkrieg. Yeah, Kasher Yideh Asher Lo Tishma Lashono. You won't understand their language, goy az ponim, a chutzpahdik nation, asher lo yisa ponim lazokein, they don't care for the old, v'nar lo yochon, and they don't care for the young, and that was exactly what happened in the Holocaust. The young and the old went first, and that was, but look at this, that is stum, that's a pasuk, which Ramban has told us, is talking about our golus, and it's interesting that both the Romans and the Nazis both had the Nesher, both had the eagle as their symbol, and this is their symbol. But there's one very curious thing that comes up in this Tochacha, in the next two psukim that I've quoted over here. Yolech Hashem Oscho ve'esmalkecho asher tokim olecho el goya shelo yodato. Hashem will take you and your king to a land, to a goy that you don't know, atov avosecho, you and your forefathers, v'avadat Hashem Elohim acherim eitz. Forever, you will serve there Elohim Acherim, gods of others, eitz forever, wood and stone. And look, it's repeated in the next pasuk. Look at this, Samach Dalet, also, V'avadat Hashem Elohim Acherim, asher lo yodato, atov avosecho, eitz vo'evan, wood and stone. What do you think that refers to? Says the Gra. What does it mean, wood and stone? Wood is the cross and stone. The stone is in Mecca. That we're talking about the two. If you look at the 13th century in Spain, it's ravished by the Islam, and then by the Christians, and by Islam, the Christians, and the Crusades coming to Eretz Israel and destroying everything on their way, and it's mamish that this golus is a golus of Eitz Vo'evan. Eitz Vo'evan comes up again and again and again. Says the Vilna Gaon, that doesn't appear anywhere else in the Torah. Eitz Vo'evan. It says Eloi Chesef, Eloi Zohov. It says all types of but over here. In the Tochacha, which is talking about our golos, it says Eitz Vo'evan, and that's a reference to these two kochos. And I want to end off with the Haftorah, which I've photocopied of Parshas Noach. Right, the Haftorah in Parshas Noach is right over here. It's the right after the sources over here. Yishayahu Nun Dalet. Yeah, it says Ki Yomin Usmal Tifrotzi V'Zareich Goyim Yirash. Right, you're going to be scattered right and left. Right, but you're going to come back and resettle vacant cities, desolate cities. You're going to resettle. We know this from Lecha Dodi, right? Yomin usmal tifrotzi v'shashem taritzi. What does it mean, yomin usmal? I read in a sefer. I wish I remembered where I saw this, but it's a reference to something unbelievable. Which day of the week is the Sabbath for the Neutzern? Sunday. Which one is it for the Islam? Friday. Yomin small tifrots. You're going to be scattered to nations which celebrate the Shabbos on the right and the left. Right? And of course we know that Yishmael is the son of Avram, who is the Yamin, and Esav was the son of Yitzchak, who was the small Bekadusha, and they were Betumah. And you're going to be scattered. Shabbos itself is going to reflect Klal Yisrael's Golus. We are going to be scattered to places where Yomin Usmol, the Shabbosos, the Sabbaths, or whatever it is, their holy day, is going to be scattered right and left. There's Hashem Taritzi, but ultimately we're going to come back. We're going to come back there. It's all Va'orim Neshamos Yoshivu, and one day we're going to come back, and that's Be'ez Hashem Bekorol B'Yomeinu Amen.